Good morning. Thank you. Our first reading this morning is from Micah 6, 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. The second reading is from Zechariah 7, 8 through 10. And the word of the Lord came again to Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty said. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other. And here ends the reading.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel comes from John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. The word of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for bringing us together in this place this morning, Lord, that we may worship and glorify your name, that it may be all about you. And Lord, we just pray that you would open up your word to us, that we may learn, that it would reach down deep inside us, Lord, and change us, that it would change us, that we may better serve you and live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I like to cover on the bulletin just two words: be nice. Wow. That says a lot. That says so much. I use those words all the time out at school, too. If there's kids misbehaving in the hallway, I'll say, hey, be nice. If someone's, you know, putting someone else down and going a little too far, hey, be nice. If they're messing around in the lab a little bit, hey, no horseplay, but be nice. It just says so much. Last month, I got a chance to speak on sharing. And sharing, like the daycare providers had told me, is not something that's innate. It has to be learned. You have to teach kids to share. Do you also have to teach them to be nice?
Yes.
Probably. Okay, so these are two lessons that we are taught from an early age: to share and to be nice. And if everybody just did that, imagine what this world would be like. Wow. Wow. It would be a little different. When you think of Christians, ideally you're thinking of someone that's nice, I suppose, but think of a person that you would define as a Christian, someone that just portrays those values, that lives it out, that you see it in the way they live. What are some characteristics or attributes, just one word, that you would use to describe that person?
Service.
Service, huh? Okay, there's a good one. I feel like I should be able to write on my smart board here. I'm in my classroom, but I don't have that. But maybe someday we'll have that. They're kind.
Happy.
Happy.
Positive.
Positive. Caring. I heard that. They have a glow, huh?
Skipping their step.
Skipping their step. Yeah, the joy of the Lord, right? Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? We need to be living out of that joy. It should just be pouring out of us on a daily basis to those around us. Just Christ's light shining through us. That joy, his joy through us. That's the way we need to be living, folks. Skipping our step. What else we got?
Humble.
Humble. Yeah. Patient.
Respect.
Respect. Okay. And Christ-like. These are all characteristics and attributes of people we see as Christians. They are servants. They are kind to others. Happy and positive. Caring about others. They have a glow about them. A skip in their step. They are humble. Patient. Have respect, and they are Christ-like. Do these attributes also reflect Christ? Was he kind? Yeah, everybody he met, he was kind. He was always helping. He was always healing. He was always about doing good to others, right? He never asked anything for himself. It was always all about others, even at times where he just needed to get away and pray for a while to connect with the Father. And he comes over the hill, and what's waiting for him? A crowd of 5,000 people. Wow. But he had compassion for them. He was compassionate. Happy and positive. When you read through the Gospels, yeah, happy and positive. Well, we got to see him in the temple, though, too, or the money changers and things like that. He was a little unhappy there, perhaps, but yeah, he was operating as a human, and he saw an injustice, and he was all about justice, huh? A glow. There had to have been a glow about him, huh? There had to have been. People just flocking from all over, coming together by the thousands. How do you speak to thousands of people without an amplifier or a microphone or something like that? Was it some sort of miracle thing where his voice just projected? Were there people relaying everything he said so it would work out there? I don't know. I've said before, if they ever invent a time machine, I want a ticket to go back and just learn from Jesus, to see this, to witness the miracles, to hear his words, to see the way he treated others. Sometimes we just read it from Scripture, and it's so much like, okay, reading a novel or a story, and we forget that this is real. That this is real. The miracles, real. The way he spoke to thousands of people at once, real. Things like that. The way he healed, real. A skip in his step. As he's going from town to town, you can start to visualize that, huh? That he was humble. He had the right to demand all glory. God, our King. But a humble servant. That's the way he operated on a daily basis in every situation. Humility. Patient. Patient with his disciples at times. That comes through loud and clear as you read about him. How much longer must I be with you? Or don't you get it? You know, at times like that, that comes out. You know, the human side of him. The human side of God. God who is spirit and above all that we can't even really connect with. He found a way to connect with us by becoming a human and dwelling among us. The creator of the universe. To become a lowly human just so he could show us how to be nice. Respect. Yeah, he had respect for others, for people that no one else had respect for. For kids, for Samaritans, for others. He was all about showing respect. And Christ-like. I guess you could say he was Christ-like, huh? Yeah. So these attributes define us as well as Christ, because we are Christians, and we need to be living that out. Our daily lives should reflect that in every situation. We have the mind of Christ, it says in 1 Corinthians. We have been given the mind of Christ. And 2 Corinthians follows it up by saying we are ambassadors of Christ. ambassadors, representatives, going out there, bringing him to others. You look at ambassadors, they represent a government. They are given some measure of authority as well. And we also have authority. We need to be using that. We need to be taking control. We need to be healing. We need to be casting out demons. We need to be doing all those things that Jesus told us, commanded us to do. He has given us authority. Why aren't we using it more? Zechariah also describes Christ in the reading from today. The word of the Lord came again to Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty says, administer true justice. Christ is all about justice and true justice. Show mercy and compassion to one another. Hallmarks of his life. In every situation, showing mercy and compassion. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the ailing or the poor. It is all about seeking justice for these people. Oppressing the widow, how low can you go? How low? And Zechariah is telling these people that, you know, they should not be doing this. Apparently it was happening. Does it still happen? Yeah. I know of one widow that fell, I know of a couple that have fallen into phone scams where people have called them up claiming to need money for these good causes and basically drain them dry. How can they live with themselves? I don't know. And in your hearts, do not think evil of each other. In your hearts, not just in your minds. Yeah, we think with our minds. But in your hearts, do not think evil. And that's just not our logic and our analytical side. That is with everything you are, with your heart. Be kind, compassionate, be merciful, be just. And don't think evil of each other. Think good. There's good in everyone. So people looking at Christ, a lot of them would say he was nice. We don't say that. We say he is nice. And Caitlin can tell us why from Hebrews, right? A little bit louder, proclaim it.
He's the same today, tomorrow.
Louder again.
He's the same today, tomorrow.
That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, outside of time. Yeah, he was nice when he walked the earth, but he's still nice. Amen. He's still loving. He's still healing. He's still welcoming. He's still kind. He's still just. He's still merciful. All these things. Enduring, yet today. Yeah, there's a lot of history in the Bible, but God lives outside of time. Time is good. Time has always existed, I guess. We've learned to quantify it, I guess, into, you know, seconds and days and milliseconds or whatever. Well, the days were there already because they're revolving with the earth. But he doesn't need time. He's outside of time. He was there before time, before the universe, before anything. Something our human minds can't understand. Time itself is crazy enough. You start to get into relativistic physics and you just go, wow. Learning that time is basically meaningless, that there could be paradoxes in it, that there's no such thing as simultaneity. And just every time I study that, I'm just in awe and amazed. We don't understand the whole picture, but God does. In John, it tells us to love each other as I have loved you. Well, there's being nice. Loving like Christ did. How did he love us? Completely. Unconditionally, yes. Unconditionally and completely. To the extent that he was willing to lay down his life. Whoa. It says here, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. That's stated again in Romans 5. If we look there. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Love to that extent, that for sinners, is willing to die. And this is puzzling too. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Okay. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. So there's a difference here somehow between a righteous man and a good man. Yeah. That one I was trying to puzzle out. I looked in this Bible, the NIV, I looked at my wife's NLT, we looked at footnotes, all kinds of things. Even this morning we were still discussing it together. What's the deal here? We got on the internet and searched. We're trying to find the difference. And a righteous man, at least one website said, is someone who is right before God. Okay, if we have accepted Jesus, we are. He has made us righteous. Not self-righteousness here, okay? This is being made righteous before God through what Jesus has done. Whereas a good man is someone that is, you know, good towards others, not towards God as well, obviously, but yeah. So righteous before God or righteous before man. But how many people do you know that would be willing to die for another person? And Christ was. That is love. So we can die to self. We read that elsewhere in the Bible, that we are called to die to self. Again, just to be all about serving others. Absolutely, 100%. Selfishness, again, is something that we addressed last month in the sermon on sharing there, that God doesn't look too kindly on that. He wants us to be there for others. So to give your life for others. Romans 12 tells us another way in which we can do that. To give your life as a living sacrifice. To sacrifice your life on a daily basis. To ask him to work through you, to live through you, to love through you. Giving it all to him. Giving him the reins. Letting him take control. That's another way in which we can love, and that's what Christ did. He sacrificed his physical life, but we can sacrifice our life too, just by being there for other people and letting God work through us, asking him to work through us, giving him permission. Also in John there it says to remain in my love, is what Christ says. To remain in his love. Why would we ever want to leave his love? That's the best place you can be when you're just feeling his love. It's just surrounding you and holding you up. Why would we turn from that? It also says he wants our joy to be complete. We said the joy of the Lord is our strength. He wants our joy to be complete. You could just feel it this morning, too, during the opening music. That joy, the joy of the Lord, just flowing through this place. He's happy. He loves it when we worship him, and there's angels worship alongside us. Another thing from the gospel here, it says he commands us to love one another. A command. It says that two times in that reading. Twice. A command is, it's an order. It's not optional. Ask Wendell or ask Jack. Someone gives you an order? Is it optional? No. No. You learn that very early. Basic training. When I went through there as well, my boys are up at Camp Ripley this weekend right now as we speak, taking orders, following them, or else. Here's orders from God. Not from humans, but from God. Orders from God. What he wants us to do. This is my command. Love each other. Just the people you like? No. Love your enemy as yourself, yes. There's a challenge. Again, it's not a suggestion. It's not an opinion, anything like that. It's a command. To love each other, to be there for each other, to let him love others through you. It's not that tough, actually. Micah sort of points that out in the other reading from this morning here. It says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the Most High, or before the Exalted God? I learned it in the RSV. This passage has been my favorite for decades. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? That's a lot. Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Not all these things, not all these great gifts and sacrifices, only that you act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Or in the RSVE, it was do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. All these other things, I guess they show that we value God, that we like him, we give offerings, we give gifts and things like that. But more important to him than 10,000 rivers of oil, more important than thousands of rams, more important than even offering up your firstborn, which he did for us, is that we do justice, that we love kindness, and we walk humbly. Again, same traits that we listed earlier. Fits right in with them beautifully. We try to make it so complicated. We build these great cathedrals. We have, look through the centuries, all these rituals that have evolved through, you know, religion. God impressed by that? No. What does he want? That you do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. That you would love each other. That's what he wants. It's that simple. Don't make it more complicated than it is. What is the greatest commandment? That we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And that we love our neighbors as ourselves. Again, God's command to us. He wants you to do justice. He wants you to love kindness, walk humbly, to love others as yourselves, and to be nice. Amen.